Father, thank you that we can lift our hands up this morning and give praise and glory to Jesus. You're an awesome Father. You love us. You saved us. We have much to rejoice about. May your word be blessed this morning as it goes out. May your word not return void. May your word go forth as seed and change our lives. Where it's needed, may your word go out like a hammer, smashing the rocks of resistance in our lives. Here mag die woord uitgaan soos 'n hamer wat die rotse van weerstand wat wil opbou in ons verpletter, en dat die saad van die woord sal skiet en vrug voortkom van die wonderlike werk van Jesus Christus. Gee al die lof en aanbidding. Vergewe ons ons sonde, Vader, waar ons doelbewus, ondoelbewus, gesê en gedink het, wat U nie vergewe, wat U nie verheerlik het nie. Mag die bloed van Jesus Christus ons reinig weer en weer, soos dit op die kruis reeds volbring is. Dat ons nie vasgevang word in leens, leens van onwaardigheid, leens van hulpeloosheid, leens van down and there's no hope. Father, thank you that Christ in us is the hope of glory, and we worship you this morning, Jesus. You know every person that's walked into this building. You know the situations in the homes, the finances. You know what's going on deep down in the hearts of your children. I pray, Holy Spirit, you are the only person who can touch those depths. Not even our wives, our children, our best friends can go into those deepest places. But I pray that you work deep down in our hearts, that there'll be a resurrection life rising up within us, saying God is good. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a wonderful clap offering this morning? Baie welkom aan almal vanoggend, en ek bid dat vanoggend 'n wonderlike tydjie saam sal wees. Dankie Jan vir jou afkondigings. Mag ons saam staan en hierdie mense wat in ons gemeenskap is, is veral kindertjies, help. They just need a start. Maybe your time, your money, maybe your presence can give them a kickstart into something wonderful. Let's not shy away from that. Volgende wil ek net gesels oor Jesus alone is worthy. Ek wil gesels oor Jesus alleen is waardig. Jesus alleen is waardig. Jesus alone is worthy. Ons moet dit vasmaak in ons harte, mense. You got to fix it in your spirit that Jesus alone is worthy. You got to fix it now, not later. Fix it while it's going good with you. Kan ek dit sê? Maak dit vas terwyl dit met jou goed gaan. Moenie wag om dat die lende strike en dan reik jy nou uit na God. Fix it in your heart now that Jesus alone is worthy in your life. The last 2 weeks I spoke about, if it's too loud you can turn it down a bit. Last 2 weeks I spoke about in trials, binne beproeving. En ek het dit doelbewus gedoen. Het ek die laaste 2 weke, hierdie Sondag praat ek van nie binne beproeving, maar praat ons van oorwinning. Maar ek wil net 'n bietjie herhaal, en as jy dit nie gekyk het, gaan kyk het en stuur dit aan asseblief. Dit het baie mense gehelp. Sonder exaggeration. Baie mense gehelp. Want mense weet nie hoe om 'n beproeving of 'n trial te hanteer, veral Christene. Want ons word geleer dat as jy regtig die Here dien, dan gaan jy nie beproewings hê nie. Dis onskriftuurlik. Jy gaan toetse, beproewings, vervolging. Jy sal miskien ook ly in sekere goed. Jy is nie vrygespreek nie. Maar hoe hanteer jy die beproeving? Hoe hanteer jy? Hoe hanteer jy die toetse wat oor jou pad kom? You see, only He's worthy to take us through these trials. And we do go through many trials. Ek het ook gepraat van die vierde man in die oond. The fourth man in the fire, which means the door. Jesus is the way, the portal that is going to heaven. Even in the Jewish culture, they don't believe in Jesus as the Messiah. The significance of four and fourth was that it's the doorway, the way to God. It was already a prophecy of Christ in the fire. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said something very interesting. They said, our God can save us from this fire. But listen, King, even if He doesn't, I will not bow down to you. You see, that is being prepared for the trial. Dis voorberei vir die beproeving. Here gaan my red uit hierdie vuur uit. Maar weet wat, as hy my nie uitred nie, gaan het buitendien niks verander met my gesindheid teenoor, hoor mooi, gaan dit niks verander teenoor my gesindheid vir wie ek dien. Oh, that's powerful. Lord, you will, my God can save me from this fire, but even if He doesn't, it's not changing my attitude to the one I serve. Because the one I serve is not my servant. I serve Him because He's God. I serve Him because He's all-powerful Messiah. I don't serve Him because He takes me out the fire. I serve Him because He's God. Why do you serve Him? I want you to answer me. Why do you and me serve Jesus? Because He gives you a good life and a good marriage? Wrong reason. I serve Him because He's God. And your best chance of a good marriage and a good work and a breakthrough in yourself and your emotions and your kids, your best chance is anyway serving properly. It's the best shot. But even if He doesn't take me out this fire, and what happened is there was a fourth man in the fire. Right with Him. But they had made their choice before the fire. They didn't try and make it in the fire. Dit was voor die vuur. Hulle het dit nie gemaak in die vuur. Te veel van ons wil groot besluite in die vuur maak van beproeving, ellende, toetse. En dan word het verskrikkelijk zwaar. Want glo my, as jy in 'n beproeving is, dan wir jou kop en jou emoties en jou gedagtes. Daarom moet iets reeds gevestig wees. Something must be fixed before. Amen? Before the trials. When you come through the fires of life, the Bible talks about you'll be refined as gold. Means the impurities will be taken and shaken and removed. These impurities will be taken, shaken and removed through the fires of life. Don't call the fire. But don't think you're going to dodge every fire. Doesn't work like that. Trials have a way. Trials, beproevings het 'n manier. Jy bietjie te skud en sê, gaan dit met jou verhouding met my?
Het is gefocust. Ek het die first verse. David het iets te sê, dit is 'n herhaling. Ek het hierdie woord so gevat vir my. Come on guys. David skryf in Psalm 119 vers 67, hy sê, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey your word. Hy sê, voor ek in daai groot beproeving was, het ek lekker maklik verdwaal, want alles is reg, alles werk uit. Ek kan net so go astray. But he says when the affliction came, man, I'm hanging on to your word, Lord. Suddenly I see the value of God and the value of how he's actually kept me and blessed me and carried me. And I'm not comparing myself to others, or you mustn't compare your work to others or whatever, but do you know how he's actually carried you? Do you think it was you that was so good? Do you really understand his grace that you are healthy and wealthy and wise and it's going good? Do you know it's his grace upon you that you could respond and somehow he took you and lifted you and touched you and healed you and blessed you? But the minute I think it's me, it's easy to go astray. Just to start slowly just losing the plot. And this is a celebration today of God's goodness. And we're going to have a testimonies now of two people who will come and testify. But today, we are going to focus on being victorious and rejoicing in and around the only one who's worthy. I want to lay that foundation in our lives. Ek wil focus op die oorwinning en die gejubel van die een, die in en om, net die een wat waardig is vir my jubel. Die een wat ons dra, wat ons bou, wat ons bemoedig en wat ons die deurbraak gee. En voor ons die getuienisse gaan hoor, wil ek weer herhaal wat ek die laaste paar weke herhaal. Och, is baie belangrik. Jou getuienis, my broer, my sussie, jou getuienis is nie die dinge. Jou getuienis is 'n persoon. Jesus Christus. Dit kan uitspoel in 'n genesing. Dit kan uitspoel in 'n oorwinning. Dit kan uitspoel in voorsiening. Your testimony from the day you got saved, your testimony is Jesus Christ, not the things. The things are the cherry on the cake. Our testimony is Christ. Karine and I were in Bloemfontein in the week. And between the MRI scan and seeing the professor again, we went to shopping mall and we just sat with a friend of ours, a daughter, who lost their dad with COVID a year ago. Dad passed away. Christians, lovely Christians. We're sitting with a daughter, adult daughter in her 40s. We're just having a cappuccino and chatting. And she said the following to me. I love it. She said, Uncle Alan, if I didn't know my mom was the Christian she was and the way she was serving God, I would have thought she's lost her marbles because she's rejoicing. She sees chance for the future. She loves Jesus. I would have thought that she's gone off her head because she loved my dad and they did everything together. And in a surprise, my dad's gone to be with the Lord. And we just thought it's finished for mom. But she's slowly crawling back because of Jesus. You see, Christ's your testimony, not the cherry on the cake. I want to encourage you. Guys, start now that Christ is your testimony. And we will testify of many cherries on the cake and many great victories. We're going to. That's what we're doing today. As long as it's from, Christ is my testimony. Because that's the place that you must live from. You can put the next scripture on. It's a lovely scripture in Afrikaans. Baie lief vir hierdie woord of 83. Kyk wat sê hy. Dit is nie powerful nie. Dit is baie powerful. En die getuienis behels dit. Behels wat? En die getuienis behels dit. God het ons die ewige lewe gegee en die lewe is deur sy seun. Wie die seun het, het die lewe. Wie nie die seun van God het nie, het ook nie die lewe nie. En die getuienis behels dit. Look what it is. Wat behels die getuienis? God het ons die ewige lewe gegee. The center of our lives and our rejoicing behels dit. God het my lewe gegee. Nou, gesond. Minder gesond, in die lyding, goeie getuienis, of nie wat ek wou hê nie. God is my getuie. And that's the place the church will give hope to the world. And we pray, and we trust, and we can pray for people today. Because testimonies inspire people to trust God. Kyk wat sê hy in Psalm 22, vers 23, ook in die Afrikaans. En hier gaan kom ons nou 'n bietjie nader. En ek sal tot eer van u naam getuig in die gemeente. U in die volle vergadering prys. Isn't that beautiful, hè? I will testify. Look what it says. Ek sal tot eer van u naam getuig in die gemeente. My broers en susters moet my getuienis hoor. En dis moeilik dat almal altyd net getuienisse vertel. Jy moet dit privaat doen, vertel mense. But sometimes die gemeente moet die getuienis hoor of the goodness of God. Dis 'n mooi skrif, nee. Ek gaan nou windie wees. Ek bet you didn't know that in the Bible. Dit sê al getuig in front of the gemeente. Dis mooi, nee. Wat gaan dit doen vandag? Hier kom die volgende. Psalm 66 vers 16. Julle is almal nou al reeds hier vandag. Kom luister, alle dienaars van God. Julle almal dienaars van God, kom luister. Kyk na wat. Ek wil vertel wat hy vir my gedoen het. Isn't that beautiful? Ek wil vertel wat hy vir my gedoen het. Ek Ellen is nog nie deur my beproewing nie. Not through. Still quite in the middle of it. Maar ek kan reeds al begin vertel op 'n ligte noot. Ek het lanklaas 45 minute aan mekaar gebid binne in 'n MRI wat om jou. Kon nie my oë toemaak en sê, Heer, Lord, nou moet ek pray. Toe bid ek vir julle en vir die oulinge en vir die Arielies en my kinders en lanklaas. Ek gaan vertel van die getuienis, hoe kon ek bid? Binne in die masjienkie. Ander kan weer vertel na die finale deurbraak. Ander kan vertel in die toets wat sê, ek gaan nie opgee nie, ek vertrou God. Ek gaan getuig dat die Messias is met my, in my, en ek pak die lewe aan saam met God. Wat is jou getuienis? Is dit, Here, hoekom het jy teen my gedraai? Hoekom het jy my verlaat? Oh, come on. Don't even talk like that. Waar is die Here? Hy's weg. I'm not talking about your emotions. I'm talking about facts. God's not gone. You understand? And this is the beauty of kom luister alle dienaars van God. Ek wil vertel wat hy vir my gedoen het. Now, every one of you have got a family challenge, money challenge, health challenge, work challenge, relationship challenge, labor problems. Somewhere you and me are going through tests right now. Each of us. We all. Even in yourself, in your mind. Begin die getuienis nou al bou. dat tot waar jy is in jou beproeving, jy kan alreeds begin getuig. Amen. I can already testify in my trial. That's how Christians live. Kino and Bucks, can you guys come forward, please? We want to give Jesus the honor of testimonies through trials. Amen. I want you to be encouraged today. And it doesn't matter who comes first. Bucks, jy kan eers te kom. Ladies, ja, sy is baie mooi as jy, maar moet nou nie hartseer voel daaroor nie. Kina, thank you. And it's an honor for me to have them share today. You go for it.
Thank you.
And then Bucks, thank you. One is sharing about the physical side, physically what God did. The other is in the work and trusting God for workers and for harvests. So that's just two totally separate testimonies. One is that personal inner health testimony, and one is the outer testimony. So just that you know. Thank you.
Good morning. It's a privilege. Thank you, Pastor Alan. On the 20th of August, 2020, I was diagnosed with reflux after I had been struggling severely to swallow and a number of other things. As a result of this, I had to cut out several different types of food groups and a whole bunch of things. And I was given medication, which brought little relief. Even cutting out the food brought little relief. And about a year, actually exactly a year later, August 2021, I started going hoarse and I had severe struggles to breathe. So much so that I actually had to start sleeping elevated. And I went to Dr. Nikki and he put me on some antibiotics just for the hoarseness. You know, with COVID going around, immediately everybody thinks, oh, COVID, you know. And so I went to Dr. Nikki, put me on antibiotics, but there was no relief from it. So he sent me to an ear, nose, and throat specialist. And I'd like to read a section out of my journal of the 4th of September, 2021. I got news this week. After a year of struggling with my health, reflux, heartburn, and some undiagnosed stuff, I went to an ENT because I was constantly hoarse. He diagnosed me with a paralyzed left vocal cord. He is doing more tests to find the cause. He says he can help me speak properly again, but I will never be able to sing again. And I wrote in my diary here, medically speaking. Singing is my life. It's part of my worship and my prayer. This was a hard pill to swallow. After the doctor's appointment, I sat in Mug and Bean just to collect myself before the drive home. And on the TV, they were showing the Special Olympics of the swimming. And there was an underwater camera showing paralyzed swimmers doing the breaststroke. In my heart, I immediately felt, if they can swim at Olympic level without their legs and only their arms, then surely I can sing with just one vocal cord.
Amen.
I believe that was the Holy Spirit that was nudging me, nudging my thoughts in the right direction. This appointment obviously led up to a whole bunch of scans. And the scans found a 15-centimeter tumor that was stretched out across over my lungs and my heart. It was, now I understood the difficulty in breathing, the heart palpitations, and so many other symptoms that I was having. And your vocal cord runs through your chest cavity, so my vocal cord was trapped within this tumor. A few days later, I was sent to Bloemfontein to have a biopsy done, and Dr. Joe Pretorius came and sat on my bed after the biopsy, and he said to me, "I'm sorry, there's nothing more I can do for you. I'm going to refer you to an oncologist." And I thought, I don't need an oncologist. What do I need an oncologist for? And a few hours later, there, Dr. Green was standing next to my bed saying, "I'd like to move you to Rosa Park, please, because I can do proper tests there and you can be there." And the whole time I was thinking, this is not happening, this is not possible. Why do I need an oncologist? It took a week for the tests to come through, and I was lying in the hospital the entire week. It was COVID, so my family was in Kronstadt, and I was in hospital. It was rough. Any of you who had been in hospital during COVID, it's lonely. But for Jesus. Amen. Monday, a week after the biopsy, I was... that Monday evening, 7 o'clock, Dr. Green came into my room and he said to me, "It is as we have thought. The tumor is cancerous. You have what we call Hodgkin's lymphoma." He said to me, "It's a treatable cancer. We've caught it in the early stages. So this is the treatment plan." And he started talking me through this. In preparation for this morning, I was going through my journal. And I journaled almost one whole book through in this last year. And it's full of ups and downs. It's sort of like the Psalms, actually. It's like crying out to Jesus in my most desperate times, and then the most beautiful promises and the most beautiful scripture verses that came out in that time. So one thing is, so clear is the consistency of Jesus through it all, like a golden thread. Sure. Just absolutely beautiful. There was, during this time, I had such a physical struggle, obviously. I was really sick from the chemo that started literally the next morning. And I lost 20 kgs of weight due to just absolutely no appetite. I lost all my hair, etc., etc., etc. And then spiritually, the struggle for me was saying, "Lord," and I'm being just very vulnerable here, "can I trust you? Can I trust you to heal me? Can I say, your will be done? Can I surrender everything to you?" The day when I made that conscious decision to do so, I met Jesus in a whole new way. God's provision was incredible for our family in this time. First and foremost, my two doctors that walked the longest, the most intense road with me was Dr. Nikki, and then my oncologist, Dr. Green. Both born-again, spirit-filled doctors. Spirit-led doctors. I felt so safe within their care, and I just honor God for that, for godly men in the medical field. Some more provision. You guys, as my church family and community, throughout my 6 months of chemo, 60 meals were delivered to our home. Sure. You guys looked after us. You guys were the hand of God in our lives as a family when we needed it most. 6 months before I was diagnosed, Nick's parents moved back to Kronstadt after living in Bloemfontein for 7 or 8 years. They lived right next, they moved right next door to us to be there for us, to help with everything that we needed. School up and down. Finance. The list goes on. The list goes on. I could need 5 minutes, and I know I'm past 5 minutes already. So I can't go long. How do you expect a woman to do this in 5 minutes? Okay.
You're forgiven.
Thank you. I said to Nick last night, what do I cut out? I don't know. Anyway, on the 20th of July this year, after 6 months of chemo, 3 weeks of radiation, 2 surgeries, countless scans and blood tests, Nick and I walked into Dr. Green's office after my last tests, and we were chatting, and he looked through my file, and he said, this looks good. This looks good. And I looked at him, and I said, what does that mean? He said, you're cured. And I burst into tears. I looked at Nick, and he said to me, I told you, which he had been telling me. He had such faith and surety in his heart that God was going to do healing work in my life. And Dr. Green said to me, but why are you so surprised? He said, we knew that God was going to do this, didn't we? And I just praise God for that. Today, I want to specifically just, on that note, honor Nick and Diela. Sure. Nick didn't miss one appointment. Not one doctor's visit, not one chemo. He put his world on hold for me in that time. Diela served me when Daddy was at work. She served me at home, hand and foot. It was the hardest, but one of the most incredible times in our family's life. Thank you to each of you for your phone calls, your messages, your meals, your financial contribution, your gifts. I cannot tell you how much it meant. My family and my friends, the support was incredible. Our spiritual leaders, thank you. I want to honor God for all he has done for me. I'm so deeply, deeply grateful. I want to just end off with a scripture verse of Pastor Allen.
Speak it.
Pastor Allen actually read last week, which is a scripture the Lord gave me the morning before I was diagnosed. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care on him because he cares for you. Verse 10. Now the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little. What an incredible promise. So I want to thank Jesus today for restoring, establishing, strengthening, and supporting me after I had suffered a little while. Thank you, Jesus. And I will sing again. God is busy. I will sing again in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kina. You know, we were so in a joke. We were in Sabi, and they were trying to keep the time. And the conference was filled with our African brothers and sisters. And I told them the joke about the rich guys have got the watches, but the African people have got the time. And they laughed, all these pastors. Kino, you didn't speak too long. We needed to hear that. And you gave glory to Jesus. My side of watching Kino and Nick as a pastor was through the trials, the ups and downs, the questions. They just walked with Jesus. And that is the best testimony that I have out of this, is to see them not go astray, but actually keep on holding on to the Lord. Thank you. Bux, this is a voorreg. Thank you that you're going to share. And don't worry, we're early. It's a new day. Nee, regtig. Go for it. Ek wil graag hoor.
Ja, hoor julle allemaal. Kino, jy hoef nie sleg te voel nie. Ek gaan nie so lang praat nie, so jy het van my tyd gevat. Ja, hoekom staan ek hier vanoggend? In my tye van beproewings, in my tye wat ek met die Here gepraat het, het hy eendag vir my 'n skrif gegee, en ek moet eerlik wees, ek kan nie onthou wat 'n vers dit is nie, maar ek onthou die skrif. En die skrif het gesê, roep my aan in jou tye van nood, ek sê jou help, en jy sal daarvan getuig.
Jo.
So, Is by meer as een geleentheid, by 'n paar geleenthede, is hy vir ons boere gebid. Almal ken die, die situasie waardeur ons hierdie seisoen is, die beproewings, met baie reën saam, en dit was eintlik vir my elke keer sleg, want ons boer met vog, ons boer met reën. Dit reën is ons bestaan. So, hoekom, ek het baie keer vir die Here gesê, vergewe my Here, maar hoekom bid ons dat dit minder moet reën of nie moet reën nie? En dis menslik. En ek glo die Here verstaan dit. Ons seisoen het afgeskop, baie rof. In 27 jaar wat ek boer, het ek nog nie so iets beleef nie. Ek dink die ander boere sal met my saamstem. En ek praat spesifiek oor ons boere. Ek weet die ander mense wat met baie ander uitdagings sit. Elkeen het uitdagings. En soos Ellen laasweek ook gesê het, ons allemaal het elke dag uitdagings. Maar ek dink, ons kry partykeer uitdagings wat miskien net een keer in jou lewe ga jy daarmee moet deel. En hierdie seisoen was een van hulle, want ek glo nie ons het al ooit so iets beleef nie. En as ons het geweet het voor die seisoen, sou ons miskien nie een van ons geplant het nie. So, ja, ons het begin van ons seisoen het ons baie erge storm gehad, letterlik, kom ons noem het nou maar 'n tornado, my store se dakke is afgewaai, ons huise dak het skade gehad, my spulpunt, net die een wat ek het omgewaai. Ja, en ek het baie keer vir die Here gevra, maar hoekom al hierdie goed? Maar hoekom nie ek nie? Hoekom kan dit nie met my gebeur nie? Dis soos Ellen net nou gesê het. Ons moet nie dink as ons kinders van die Here is, niks kan met ons fout gaan nie. En ons het na daardie storm, tydens daardie storm het ons, met daardie storm het ons goeie reën gehad. So, ons kon plant. Ons het tyd gehad om eindelijk vroeg te kan plant. En toe kom ons in ons, in December en Januari en Februari, kry ons 'n verskriklike klomp reën. En ons het nie nie eers naaste by genoeg kunsmis gegee om al daardie reën te kon akkommodeer nie. Op papier en menslik gesproke moes ons 'n totale misoes gehad het. Maar God was in beheer die heel tyd. Ons het die Here vertrou vir dit, dat hy sal uitkoms gee. Ons het die Here vertrou dat hy sal krag gee in die grond, krag gee in die plante, en wonderbaarlik het ons 'n baie goeie oes gehad. Ek gaan nie vandag vir julle vertel hoe goed was ons oes nie, maar ons het 'n goeie oes gehad. En dit kon net die Here doen. En dis waarvoor ek hier is vandag, en ek wil die Here eer vandag. Ons het gesukkel om toe die somer, toe ons dink die somerseisoen is verby en die reën is nou verby en ons moet begin oes, toe kom al weer 'n klomp reën. Yes, en ek dink dit was amper die grootste beproewing gewees, want ons het gesien hoe die Here ryklik voorsien, ons het gesien, ons het hierdie oeste, ons het gesien die veld is mooi, ons het gesien, dit was eintlik net amazing gewees, en toe kom ons met hierdie beproewings om hierdie oeste van die lande af te kry, om te kan stroop, om in die lande te kom. En elke keer as ons een land klaar gestroop het en ons gaan na 'n volgende land toe, dan is jy nie gehoorie oor, gaan die milies droog wees, gaan ons kan stroop nie, jy is gehoorie oor die grond, gaan ons kan inkom. En dan stroop ons en ons gaan in, en baie keer stroop jy 'n stuk en dan val jy vas. Ons het baie keer 3 keer teruggegaan na een land toe, om klaar te stroop. Maar die Here het voorsien, die Here het ons gehelp. En baie keer dink ons, veral ons as mans, sluit ons self af as jy in tye van beproewing kom. Jy gaan sit een kant en jy dink jy, die Here het jou verlaat. Maar daai gesin van my wat daar sit, en my vrou, het my hande sterk gehou. Almal wat hier was, wat vir ons gebid het, het ons moed gegee, het ons sterk gegee, het ons sterk gemaak. En dis waarvoor hierdie diens hier ook vandag is. Ek het laas Sondag vir Ellen gesê, toe hy sê, maar vandag preek hy oor die oorwinning. En dit is waarvoor, en dit is wat ons vandag wil van getuig, van die oorwinning, van Jesus se goedheid, van Jesus se guns, en dat Jesus ons altyd gedra het. In tye wat ons gedink het, ons weet nie watter kant toe nie, ons weet nie hoe nie, en ons weet nie waar nie, het die Here net gewys. Ek is in beheer. En alle eer aan God. Dankie vir almal wat vir ons gebid het. Ja, dis my story. Dankie.
Is dit nie prachtig nie? Ek en Karine het self, ook in ons huis, persoonlik ook, en ons intercessors, en hier, het baie vir julle gebid. And God, it's just wonderful to belong. I like what Kina and what Bux said. Their testimonies are totally different. But they each said, thank you to our families. Thank you to our bigger family that love us and care for us. Guys, it's important. When you're healthy, you can be on an island on your own. It's fine. But it doesn't always stay like that. Bye, Donkey Bux. Kina, thank you so much. We've been really stirred by the testimonies. And we give God all the honor and the glory. Today we're going to celebrate, ons gaan die oorwinning van Jesus Christus, die kruisdood en die opstanding, gaan ons vier met nagmaal. En so ek wil begin met 'n gesindheid wat ons lees in Jesaja 51, En Jesaja praat van toe hulle uit Egipte kom, terug na Sion toe. Remember we said today is celebration. Right? Celebration. I want you to look at, and these people didn't know Jesus as the Messiah, their Savior. Kyk wat sê Jesaja 51 vers Afrikaans 53 vertaling vers 11. Hy sê so sal die losgekooptes van die Here teruggaan. Sê saam met my, ek is losgekoop deur die kruisdood. Amen. Isn't that true? You've been bought by a price, the blood of Jesus, the breaking of his body. Not his bones, but the tearing of his flesh on the cross. You've been bought back. But look at the attitude, even in the Old Testament. He says, so sal die losgekooptes van die Here teruggaan na Sion kom. Teruggaan en na Sion kom met gejubel. When last have you gejubeld about your salvation? And been brought back. Hey, kan jy hulle nie ook kyk? As julle probleme so groot, julle nie kan jubel nie. Jy is gekoop, my maat. You've been bought by a very high price. That's the blood of Jesus that bought you. He says, die Here het teruggegaan en na Sion kom met gejubel en, wat se vreugde? Ewige vreugde. Nie vreugde oor die omstandighede, daar is vreugde oor die omstandighede, wanneer het goed gaan, maar daar is 'n ewige vreugde wat moet heers in ons kinders van God. Amen? En dit is 'n baie krachtige plek vanaf te werk. When I have everlasting joy, I can even handle my trials better. I can even trust God better. I can focus better. But he says, ja, ewige vreugde sal op hulle hoof wees. Vreugde en blydskap sal hulle verkry. Right. I'm going to go off the steps. I want to read this from the bottom with you. Ek het nou gesig. Hy sê, vreugde en blydskap sal hulle verkry. Kommer en gesig vlug weg. Vlug weg. Dis baie powerful. Jy sien, kommer vlug van die vreugde van die Here in jou lewe. Kommer kom en sê, jy, ek kan nie naby hierdie ou kom. Ek het nie plek daar nie, want hy is vol van die vreugde van die Here. It's not something man-made, eh? Dorette, it's not a man-made thing. Ek besluit vandag ek het joy. It's a living joy because I've been bought by Christ. And that kommer en gesig vlug naderhand van jou. Hy sê, nee, ons moet maar ander plek kry. Ek gaan nie plek kry daar. Ja, ek gaan ook deur my dips, moet jy nie worry nie, maar weet wat? Jy het nie woning hier in my, hierdie huis nie. Ja, waarom sê? Jy het nie woning hier in hierdie huis nie. Jy try, like you testified, you said, yeah, there's rain, and this. And God says, I'm taking you through this, watch, with you. And that's the nature of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 8 says, and this I love. Look at this. This is Nuwe Testament. Though you have not seen him, you love him. I love the Lord even though I have not seen him. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. Not happiness because of circumstances, a joy inside because there's been a losgekoop. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. To those that are watching, we are finishing off. I will be saying goodbye. We're going to have Holy Communion, or in Afrikaans, Nagmaal, where we are going to celebrate the glorious purchasing of our souls through the work of the cross. Daar's losgekoop. Hy het ons gekoop deur sy bloed. Uit slavernij uit. En daar's sy ewige vreugde in ons gebare. Die Heer hy wat in ons woon. Ek wil vir elkeen van julle sê, wat kyk, jy het nog steeds uitdagings, jy toetse, miskien is daar van julle wat in die middel van beproeving is. Vat hierdie woord, vat nagmaal by jou huis, en sê, Vader, ek gaan deur hierdie beproeving, soos Kino gesê het, for a short while, but I'm going to go through it with you, Lord, not against you, or without you. I'm going to hold on to you, I belong to you, and the Lord will give you clarity and victory. And for some watching, there's even coming healing. There's coming breakthrough financially because you've committed yourself to Christ in the trial. The victory is ours, but it was bought by him. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend the rest. Tot ziens.